Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Filmcast After Dark, the after show for the Filmcast where we talk about a variety of random topics that did not make it into the show. I'm David Chen. I'm here with Devinder Hardawar and Jeff Kanata. This episode brought to you courtesy of the fine folks at patreon.com/filmpodcast.
Thank you!
Thank you!
Thank you so much for your support. It is so valuable. We really appreciate it. Today on the After Dark, here's what we got in store for you. There's a couple articles that were published this week in the world of pop culture I wanted to talk with these guys about. Rolling Stone published their top 50 best songs by fictional bands. Vulture,
oh, that's fun.
Vulture did a best stunt Oscars, even though there are no best stunts of the Oscars, and that's a shame because stunt work is really hard. And so I thought we might talk about some of those choices. But before any of that, I need to talk to you guys about two completely unrelated things that have been brought to my attention over the course of last week. Okay. Or that I need to unburden myself about. Two things.
Why you've called us into your office.
That's right. That's right. Now, you might initially think, oh, these two things are related, but you must believe me, they're completely unrelated things that I'm about to say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Topic number one. It has recently come to my attention that using very little audio, you can now clone someone's voice and get them to say whatever you want them to say.
We talked about this, actually.
It's quite extraordinary. I mean, mm-hmm. the technology is now at a really amazing point, and it is haunting. You know, it is haunting what is able to be achieved. And I assume in the future there'll be a great number of panics over deep fakes and fake things that didn't actually happen. But in the meantime, you know, some of these voices are like only okay. They're not like super sophisticated yet, but they're like good enough that you can kind of get a sense of what they are. Okay, so anyway, that's topic one. Completely unrelated topic two. I have been secretly recording all of my conversations with Devinder Hardawar and Jeff Kanata privately. You know, like whenever Devinder and I have a conversation like separate from the podcast, I record it. I know this is a shocking fact, guys. Like,
I pretty much assumed.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm in a one party state, I think. I have no idea. But anyway, point being, I have over time, you can imagine having recorded all of our personal conversations without their knowledge. I have over time amassed a number of very upsetting confessions that Devinder and Jeff have been able to make that I will now play for you here on the podcast.
This should be illegal.
This week's After Dark. So I didn't have time to put in like the little harp noises or anything like that, but I will just say, I'll introduce it by saying, you know, this is the clip, and then you'll hear a clip from the recording. And then we'll talk about it. And I'll say that was the clip, and that will end it. Okay. So let's start with this clip that I recorded during a conversation with Jeff Kanata. This is honestly shocking. Okay, here's the clip.
Avatar is not a great film. It's not even a good one. Its biggest cultural legacy will be that it made a bunch of theaters upgrade to 3D for no reason. I'm sad that I ever said I liked it publicly on this podcast, and you should consider this statement I'm making now to be a recantation of all previous statements. I can confirm that this is Jeff Kanata saying these words right now, and not anyone or anything else.
And also, the way to pronounce your name.
Dave.
That was a clip. Yeah, weird mispronunciation of your name slightly. That was kind of weird.
I said that to you in confidence, Dave. That was not to be repeated. I don't know if you're aware of this, but that completely refutes my entire position that I've held for a decade on this show.
It's so weird to me that you would just kind of blurt that out like that.
It makes me seem like an absolute hypocrite, David.
But you know what? Even more weird, Jeff, than that was this clip from Devinder that I recorded during a private chat. Here's the clip.
Avatar is one of the most culturally relevant movies of all time. I know I've previously said it's weird that no one ever talks about this movie, but I was totally 100% completely absolutely wrong on this. I dream of Avatar all the time, and I know for a fact all the people I follow on social media do as well. I hereby swear that I shall never question the cultural relevance of this movie ever again. Also, I plan to cosplay as Jake Sully at every single Comic-Con for the rest of my life.
That was a clip.
A shocking admission to Vinjo.
I mean, my costume is right here. It's off camera.
Yeah, that's so weird. That's so weird. You know, it's so weird that Devendra has spent 10 years giving Jeff a hard time about that. And then in private, that he would just...
Wow.
That he would just kind of admit that he thinks it's actually culturally relevant. What a, what a bizarre... but then, I mean,
David, the thing that is irrefutable about this...
Yes.
Is that is clearly Devendra in his own voice... speaking in his own words.
There's no question about that. Yeah. You know, and then the thing here, I mean, guys, like, I hate to tell you, the truth bombs don't stop there. I mean, here is another clip from Jeff Cannata in a private conversation. This one's much more sweeping. Like, let's take a listen. Here's a clip.
David Chen, it's time for me to make a confession to the world. I've been wrong about everything. Literally every single opinion I've expressed on this podcast has been wrongheaded, incorrect, misleading, or inaccurate. Conversely, every single point you've made is correct and brilliant. I know I, Jeff Cannata, have been a participant on this podcast since 2014, but literally everything I've said should be ignored. Just know that it's me, Jeff Cannata, who is saying all this and that I am of sound mind during the making of this statement.
That was a clip. Yeah, you know, weird that you pronounced your name Jeff Cannata one time during that clip.
Yeah, that's I was clearly drunk, David, during that recording. I mean, it's who mispronounces their own name one time?
Do people mispronounce their names when they're drunk? I assume so. But I have to say, Jeff, you went really hard on yourself during that clip. You know, like, I mean, I think you're wrong about a lot, nay, most things. But for you to just refute like literally everything like that,
it is. I have no recollection of saying that, David. I was clearly drunk.
Well, you know, I guess I play it here so everyone knows. Like sometimes Jeff goes a little too hard on himself, and like it's our job to kind of help to prop him up a little bit. You know.
You know when I'm in the deep darkness of what is that called, when I'm in the worst state, and I call you in confidence to just get things off my chest. I don't appreciate you recording that.
Not to mention broadcasting it for the world, you know, on this clip on YouTube and also for the Filmcast After Dark. But I mean, again, you know, the confessions don't stop there. Here is the last clip that I'm going to play. I mean, people who have been listening to this podcast for a really long time will be quite upset at this clip from Devendra Hardwar.
Chappie is one of the worst movies ever made. I know I'm quoted on the Blu-ray cover for this movie, but that is something I live in shame with until this day. I don't know what I was thinking when I said it was an action-packed vision of the future, and quite frankly, I think it invalidates my thoughts more generally about movies, technology, and popular culture. This is definitely me, Devendra Hardwar, saying and thinking all of these things.
That was the clip. Wow,
that is from Chappie.
Devendra. Wow. I mean,
wow. And the part where
for those who don't know, Devendra was positive on the Neil Blomkamp movie Chappie and was quoted on the Australian Blu-ray cover.
Yeah.
Of that movie.
The part where he affirms that it is actually him seems very irrefutable.
That's what everybody does.
It removes all doubt. You know, like you might think to yourself, "Oh, this is some kind of trickery at play," but when he says that, I was like, "Is this really Devendra?" But then he said that part, and I was like, "Whoa! Now for sure it is."
My God.
So anyway, okay,
yeah,
that Devendra sounds so good.
It's pretty good.
I think it sounds like me, and then it sort of doesn't. But it sounds a lot like Devendra.
It's all the AI processing I already do to my voice for every recording, so it just kind of congeals.
This is a little one-sided, Dave.
Where are the David Chen recordings?
Yeah, where's the...
I guess we'll see. Now, the gauntlet has been thrown.
I guess it's on. Be aware that every conversation we have henceforth shall be recorded, David.
I will tell you that I tried to make one of... So that was a fun act. The act is now over. I will tell you, I tried to make a thing of myself, and it doesn't sound like me at all. Like I played.
There's
it
just
for
not
people.
Enough audio
sure,
out there.
Sure,
yeah,
sure
there's not enough audio. I mean, the thing is,
I don't know, guys. I'm just immune to AI. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm just a one of a kind, unique snowflake that can't be replicated digitally.
So, what is frightening about that is that those artificial voices were trained using about 1 minute
Jesus.
Of people's voices. You know, like you just needed 1 minute of people's voices and they could, you can clone a voice using that. I actually saw a Washington Post article saying this is now a thing that is a scam that people are doing. They're impersonating the voices of old people's loved ones and then calling the loved ones as like the young, you know, saying like, hey, it's
David,
your son.
This is your dead grandpa. Send me money.
No, the other way around. It's like, this is your grandson. Like, I'm in trouble. Please wire money to this account as the grandson. So there's going to be a lot of like scary uses of these voices. But I think listening back to these, I do think they sound very similar to you guys, mm-hmm. but they're not. I can tell the difference. Like, there's something
you could tell if you knew us, if you listened to us long enough. But I think a normal person, like especially somebody maybe who listens to us casually, but the power of misinformation is the biggest danger here. And this, hey, great, good for scams, but also good God, national security. Good God.
Oh,
like,
it's
so
terrifying. It's terrifying. Yeah. And it's only going to get better from here. Like this is, you said 1 minute in a crappy, like, I don't know if it's free, but easily accessible front end.
Easily accessible. Yeah.
Yeah. It's only gonna get better.
Yeah. You know, people at this point are probably wondering which service did you use? I don't even know if I should say. I don't even know if I should say because I don't know if I want people heading down. Like you, it's very easy to find. You just Google it. You can find it.
Filthyliars.com.
But I, you know, I want people to do a little bit extra work if you want to make it happen. A few other reflections on this. Number one is, it occurred to me that there are some people that may not even have a minute of their voice on the internet. And that provides them some level of safety. Cause it's like, it only needs a few seconds of your voice. And I'm like, man, there's literally tens of thousands of hours of my voice on the internet. But there's some people for whom that's not true. So I was like, oh, you know, you're relatively safe for now, but like anyone can be on a Instagram story or whatever at this point. So it's,
It just takes one video call and somebody
one video call
voice,
and then
so,
boom, it's over. And the other thing is though, there are actually really cool positive applications for this. So for instance, I have a, new newsletter called Decoding Everything at decodingeverything.com. And, maybe I want to produce an audio file of me reading my newsletter posts, you know, and I can clone my voice and just bloop, pop in the newsletter and then it spits out the whole thing read in my voice.
It's so exhausting to actually read your own words into a microphone.
Well, Jeff, you're talking about something that takes like 10 minutes plus like alternate takes compared to like 10 seconds to put into a thing, you know, and over time, you know, if you're making many posts, that can add up, you know? So
it's the thing you want to maintain with your audience is a great relationship of trust and honesty, you know?
You
so
wouldn't
you have
lie
a robot
about it, Jeff. You wouldn't deceive people. Tell them.
Here is robot me because I couldn't be bothered actually recording this. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen,
right. Everyone's paying for automated content. Gotta love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think
get
though
back
it is
to me when you're writing a regular newsletter, Jeff.
Nobody told you to do this. No. You chose to do this.
Use the AI to write it. I'm all for that, Dave. The reading of it is the easy part. The other thing that occurs to me is that we've literally just given people means to make podcasts of us without us. You want to hear more film cast? Sounds like you can pretty easily without us being involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we're not famous enough for ChatGPT to know what our personalities are like yet. You know?
Oh, it's there.
Sounds like it nailed our personalities already.
I wrote all that stuff just so. Oh. So yeah. But anyway, a glimpse of our terrifying AI future.
It's pretty amazing. It's really eerie to hear you say something you've never said.
Yeah.
That is wild stuff, man.
Yeah. But
and we're just going to keep barreling forward, right? Like we see the issue.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. Let's just keep going. AI audio, AI text, chat bots that are way too super smart, but will give you lies and pretend they're facts. What could go wrong?
Well, Devendra, is we'll integrate that right into search. So anybody looking for truth will just find that instead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What could go wrong?
The company that I use did take some precautions. You basically have to have a paid account to be able to do anything now. Whereas before, if you can imagine, it was free. So before, anyone could just log on and do it for free, which obviously created
a lot of problems. Now only wealthy people can do it. Nothing's ever bad if only wealthy people can do it.
Never. Also, they have said that they have the ability to positively identify the source of any cloned voice clip. So theoretically, you're only supposed to use it on voices that you have authorization to use. And sure. If they see that you're misusing it, they can theoretically ban your account.
Yeah, all you we need is an right audio recording of someone saying, I hereby allow Dave Chen to use my voice.
Yeah. Actually, I gotta work on that right now, actually. Give me 10 minutes. I got to be right back to make sure it'll get banned from the service.
I do think that that's the salvation. And hopefully we have the discipline as a culture to do that, is to embed digital fingerprints on this stuff, video, audio. You can't really do that with text, which is very problematic.
Yeah.
There's really no way to fingerprint text. And so that's going to be an issue. But at least with the video and audio stuff, hopefully these companies and services will be disciplined enough to put that in so it's easily identifiable by, everyone.
It would be, but I wish we weren't just being like, I hope. I hope the machinations of capitalism don't put these companies to do the worst things possible. Like we need a full infrastructure here of ethicists and government regulation at this point. So it's because this stuff is terrifying. And what's scary is to see Microsoft be like, well, nobody likes Bing. Let's just do this thing. And then people will keep talking about us. And they have no clue about how bad it could be. But it's a thing they've invested $20 billion in plus at this point that they'll just keep going because it's the thing that gives them a little more leverage in the tech world. So it's terrible.
The good news,
we're not thinking. Yeah.
The good news, Devendra, is that all the people who make the laws and regulations totally understand this stuff.
Yeah.
And really have a real handle on it,
So I think it's a bleak time, guys.
The thing that is really interesting to me is that on some level, it doesn't matter how good the technology gets because it's already good enough. What I mean by that is
that's all that matters.
It is good enough for people. As an example, I think there was a deepfake of Biden that went live recently, that where he's like, "I'm reinstituting the draft," and it got passed around on right wing alt right circles of "Hey, Biden's doing the terrible thing," and it's people already it's already good enough for a lot of people. B, even if it's not good enough, people will be like, oh, that's a deep, they already know what the concept of a deep fake is. Mm-hmm. And so they'll already be suspicious of whether or not it is a deep fake. There is the famous story of the Google researcher or worker who thought that the chatbot was sentient. And it's it doesn't matter if it's not, it can convince people that it is. And, that will create profound social changes. If a significant portion of the population believes that AI is sentient, which from what I've been seeing in the news, it could easily happen.
Honestly, we gotta really start not calling it AI anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not AI, right? It's not actually AI. It's it's predictive text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's
really intense predictive text.
ChatGPT should be called great autocomplete, basically.
Yeah.
Super great autocomplete.
Not that
great sometimes.
It always comes down to the Jurassic Park quote, right? Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. And that is it. That is what we are barreling towards. When we talked about some of this stuff a couple of weeks ago, people were like, hey, don't worry. Don't worry about these chatbots. We know they're not true AI, but guys, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's enough to break the concept of reality and truth, across society. This is what's terrifying me right now.
But anyway,
yeah, it sure was funny when we said those funny things.
Yeah. And then we also have to talk about the ethics of having people do things that they never did or said, that's not even a tech thing. That is what do you do as a society? How do you cope with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of this just makes me think I made a terrible decision having children. I brought more humans into this situation. Yeah. That wasn't very smart of me.
All right. I hope you all enjoyed that demonstration of the awesome power of voice cloning. And may we never do that again. except when someone here has a really bad opinion on something. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it won't be too long until you can like just save one of those and have like everything you want read to you in your voice or someone else's voice. So,
you want an extra episode of the film cast? You can make one yourself. It's going to be wild.
All right. Rolling Stone published a piece, Fake Bands, Real Songs, the 50 Best Tunes by Made-Up Musicians. And I really enjoyed these Rolling Stone lists. Like every now and then Rolling Stone does like a list of like the best 50 things. And they're always like, I don't agree with all the choices, but they're always really well thought out. And I always learn a lot of from, you know, I know many of the choices. Some of them I don't know.
And the number one here is correct. So I will say that.
So the number one choice on this list is That Thing You Do by The Wonders in the Tom Hanks movie, That Thing You Do.
It's a great song.
Number
great
three,
song.
Number
movies
three,
like so, but that song like really lived for me in the 90s. Yeah.
Number three, Shallow, obviously. Legendary song. Here's the thing I didn't like about the list. Like overall, I really like the list, but the thing I didn't like about the list is that they only allowed one song choice from every movie. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, interesting.
So there's some movies that I think could have had multiple songs on this list.
Where's Drive It Like You Stole It? That's the only one I care about. Where's Drive It Like You Stole It?
It 11. Is there. It's number 11. 11. It's number,
but like Popstar, you had to pick one from Popstar.
Yeah, exactly. Drive It Like You Stole It from Sing Street is on there. Finest Girl is amazing song in Popstar. Yep. Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Number eight.
That's number eight. But there were other
straight
there
out
were
of Low Cash. Yeah. I love it.
Sorry, Jeff, can you say what you're saying again?
I said Straight Out of Low Cash from CB4.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
1993's CB4. Straight Out of Low Cash.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da named Gusto. I wasn't going to say the N1.
That is number 10. Yep.
I think Drive It Like You Stole It needs to be higher than 11. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
another movie that has multiple good songs in it would have been, in my opinion, what was it? Not Popstar. I had it like right in at the edge of my thing. Scott Pilgrim versus the World is on here. But let's see. Sorry. There was another example of that phenomenon.
Mighty Wind. Yeah. Yeah. Kiss at the End of the Rainbow.
Kiss at the End of the Rainbow. Mighty Wind is on there. And that was when I was like, I actually went back and listened to that song. And
so
it's
good.
It's really, really beautiful.
It's such a good song.
It's really, really beautiful. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff here I feel like should be higher. The Once Thing, I think, was such a touchstone. Yeah.
I like that Nobody Like You from 4Town and Turning Red made it on here.
Yeah.
Great song by Phineas and Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm.
Walk Hard. That was Walk Hard. Hard. There were multiple songs in Walk Hard that I think should have been on the list as well. But instead they did put Walk Hard on here. The titular song Walk Hard on here. But I think multiple songs could have made it. And also, Walk Hard is 42, should have been higher. That song's incredible. So,
I love how that Girls 5 Eva made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. It could have been multiple songs from Spinal Tap as well. Here's a bit of a conundrum. I don't see anything from The Monkees.
Are they a real band?
I think that is correct.
Are they a real band or are they a fake band?
It says here, quote,
also had a long debate about what to do with The Monkees before it was decided that at a certain point they Pinocchio'd their way into being a real band and thus didn't qualify.
Yes.
Pinocchio'd their way. That's pretty good.
So would you put anything from The Monkees on this list anyway?
Monkees have great songs.
Another one that would have had multiples is Documentary Now. Mm-hmm. They put Catalina Breeze from the Blue Jean Committee from Documentary Now, but I also think the entire Co-op soundtrack would have been a good candidate for the top 50 fictional songs.
Another one that jumps out at me here is there's only one from any Muppet movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Muppets. And Can You Picture That is the one they went with. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah. What would you have chosen, Jeff?
I mean, Rainbow Connection.
Rainbow Connection.
Yeah, yeah, Rainbow
Literally
Connection.
One of the best songs ever made. Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby on Board. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good list.
I have, so actually, so anyway, the other thing that really I appreciated reading this list is just that a couple things I appreciated. Number one, very often movies produce moments, memes, music, songs that like last way beyond the initial movie. That's what's amazing about movies is that like you can have a component of the movie become extremely famous and have its own life after the movie itself has already faded from memory. And I really love that about it. The other thing is it's really hard to make a good fake song. It's arguably equally, if not more hard, than making an actual good song. You know, like,
yeah,
because you're mm-hmm. making a good song that people have to like within the construct of this fake situation that you have. And I just admire anyone that can do any of those things. You know, mm-hmm. like that's just really, yeah.
I love that Werewolf Bar Mitzvah made it.
Yes.
In 30 Rock.
Yep.
Spooky, scary. Man becomes wolf. Boy becomes man. Man becomes wolf. Anyway, but no Saturday Night Live songs.
Mm.
You know?
What would you have chosen?
Is that a thing?
What is on your mind, Jeff?
Because they were parodying real bands usually. So.
Well, but like, what like about Dick in a Box?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Or you know, or any of that, you know, Dick in a Box was like a,
but they're a group.
But aren't those
not
actual songs by the Lonely Island, which is not
by
a fictional
band? By the group,
band?
The Lonely Island.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that counts.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Connor for Real is a fake
band
/ person. That Lonely Island, real band in this world. So.
I think the real tough thing, which is here exemplified by Scott Pilgrim, is that you're making a fake song by a group that is not supposed to be the greatest, right? They're a little mm-hmm. grungy. They're a little like lo-fi. They're like starting out, and they're good enough for like a couple kids in their neighborhood to really like them. And I think that soundtrack really did a lot of that with those songs. Like
sometimes
the song
is too good. Is what you're saying, right? It's like this band should not sound this good based on what
I think
we know
that
about
thing
them.
You do is kind of like that, to be honest. But you know, because it was written by a genius. So,
Anyway. Great list. I also have created a Spotify playlist of all of these songs. So I'll link to that in the show notes.
Rolling Stone didn't do that?
Their own list? No. And there are... I couldn't find all of them. I couldn't find 50. I found like 46, 47 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll link to the article and the Spotify playlist in the show notes for those who want to know about it.
It's a good list. Yeah,
it's a great list. Great list. Okay. Final topic for today... Vulture published an article called The Stunt Awards.
Love it.
Vulture's inaugural celebration of stunt professionals is here because if the Oscars won't recognize them, we will. This article is by Bilga Iberi and Brandon Struznik. And they had categories like best stunt in action film, best stunt in a non-action movie.
I love that category.
Best fight, best shootout. Best vehicular stunt and best aerial stunt, best practical explosion. Aerial stunt, this one was surprising to me because...
the funny thing about this is that the whole point is to shine some light on stunt performers and then it's just Tom Cruise.
I love that their credits for everything list every single person. Like every single coordinator,
person, and you realize there's a lot more like stunt performers that went into this one sequence that you might have imagined. But yeah, aerial stunt. Also, here's what they put for aerial stunt. Here are the nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Ambulance, LA River helicopter chase. The movie Devotion, there is a scene that they describe as insubordination, which is pretty cool scene. I've seen the movie. Jackass Forever, Flight of the Icarus. If you've seen that movie, you'll know what that is. And then Top Gun Maverick, climactic dogfight, and separately training montage. So there, I was reading, what other movies had aerial stunts this year? And it's like, well, Ambulance did have some really good aerial stunts. Jackass Forever did have some good aerial stunts, you know, so... I like that this list kind of expanded my mind in terms of like what might have been out there.
There's some good suggestions here. Yeah,
really cool categories. Like I love the fact that they have best stunt in a non-action movie.
Yes,
that's fun.
Yeah, totally great. And shout out to the Lifetime Achievement Award. Great piece on Albert Pyun, who I talked about him when he passed away. And man, that guy is just so good. And this piece is really well written by Brandon Struznik.
Yeah. Best stunt in a non-action movie was Nope. The Jordan Peele movie, the final sequence.
just everything at the end of Nope. Yeah.
Yeah. The final sequence with Kiki Palmer's Akira slide is what they refer to it as.
When Nope so turns good. Into a Western, basically. Yeah. Loved it.
That was a really, really good work. And it's cool that it got
I love that the best vehicular stunt went to the Batman. I thought that sequence yep. is yeah. so good. That car yeah. chase.
It's a 5-minute car chase, but it yeah. feels like it really leaves an impact.
Athena was nominated multiple times in these. I do wish it had won one of these categories because I think Athena was so amazing. Yeah. If you watch the making of Athena on YouTube, it is incredible. Like to see what they did with that movie on, I think, probably one of the lowest budgets of anything here. There were a handful of movies here that I literally just straight up had never heard of.
Yeah.
And I want to acknowledge what those movies were. So there was a category called Best Fight. And the winner was a movie called Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday.
I need to see those. Yeah.
With Scott Adkins and Andy Long Nguyen. I'm like, oh, never heard of that movie. And now it is on my list of things to watch. Other
the second Accident Man movie. So we
it answers
catch up,
a lot of yeah. questions left unresolved from the first accident.
Don't just jump in an Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday, because you don't know. Mm-hmm. You won't know why the hitman even went on a holiday.
It's so true. It's so true. Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Lost Bullet 2, another movie.
Davinci, you watched that, right?
I talked about Lost Bullet. Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Prey was nominated as well for Best
hey,
Fight.
Hey, that's cool.
The final fight in Prey was nominated, so very cool. I don't know if Dan Trachtenberg knows about this, actually.
I'm texting him right now.
I'm texting him first, Jeff.
No. Oh, man.
It's okay. And
Scott Adkins gets a lot of love throughout this entire list.
Did any of you guys see Scott Adkins' other movie, Avengement?
I've seen part of Avengement. I haven't seen all of it.
I've heard Avengement is fun, and that's another movie I want to check out. But this made me think, oh, I got to watch that Scott Adkins movie, Accident Man, Hitman's Holiday, as well as Avengement. So.
And Accident Man, and honestly, Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning, which was the one which I think really got us to take notice. Like, a great movie, even though it's like a direct-to-video action movie, you know?
I thought it was cool that Bullet Train won for the best shootout.
Yeah.
Best the flashback shootout with Lemon and Tangerine. That was a good choice.
That's a good shootout.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Good.
Yeah.
The other choices in that category were Ambulance, The Bank Heist, The Big Four, The Compound Siege, RRR, Piggyback, Dual Wielding, and Vikram's Giant Gun. It's funny, they had to kind of give names to these action scenes, so the names are a little bit amusing.
The one with the giant gun.
A bit bummed that RRR didn't win anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I remember that Bullet Train, like, I like Bullet Train more than I think a lot of other people, but even that shootout didn't seem distinctive compared to, honestly, The Big Four was a lot of fun. And RRR. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other big takeaway I had from this list is, like, man, it is really a shame that the Oscars don't honor stunts as a category. Like, it's
baffling.
It's kind of ridiculous.
It's really
frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But as long as we have institutions like Vulture to do it for us and the Filmcast After Dark to talk about it,
talk about something that would help make the telecast more watchable. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's somehow lower than any of these other categories. It is a skill. It is a it takes a lot of craftsmanship and know-how to
people put their bodies and lives at risk for a lot of these things. Yeah,
and it would be amazing to a moment in the show to highlight some of these amazing sequences. I think people would want to see them, especially and it would allow the Oscars to open up to a whole category of movies that they don't usually even talk about.
Yeah.
You know, like Accident Man. You don't see an Accident Man nominated for a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. Agreed. Speaking of the Oscars, the Stunt Awards over at Vulture. Check it out. I'll link to it in the show notes. But speaking of the Oscars, I was reflecting to you guys, hey, the Oscars is happening this week. And if everything goes as people think it will go, this will be the first time a confirmed Filmcast listener wins the Oscar for Best Picture.
Hey, how about we not call that shot yet?
Yeah, don't jinx it, Dave.
Shut up.
Just love jinxing.
Let's do this next week.
I love jinxing. Yeah. I love jinxing. But anyway, yeah, that idea is very exciting.
I love the idea of that. Yeah. Should that occur?
should that extremely hypothetical possibility mm-hmm. come to pass? But
then I shall celebrate.
I think, let me put it a different way. I'm really rooting for Everything Everywhere All at Once to win big.
I'm getting a little tired. The people who really follow awards are like, man, Everything Everywhere is winning everything. It's so boring. And I'm like, guys, that... I hate that part of the story. Maybe
it's almost like the good thing wins sometimes.
Yeah, the good thing is winning. Jeez.
Yeah, but it's awesome. It's awesome to see that. So
yeah.
All right, folks. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today here. You know what? Let's do one question from the mailbag. How about this? Let's do one question.
You're going to say, let's do one more
the ever expanding
fake
mailbag.
Phone call from my friends.
Let's see. So I made a post yesterday about this. There's a couple of really good, short questions. Okay. Here's a good one that I was like, let's just knock this one out. David G writes, why is it when you're reviewing a movie or a TV show, you feel it's necessary to stress, in my opinion? It feels very redundant to continue iterating that what you're saying is your opinion. I feel this is always implied, in my opinion.
I have very strong feelings about this.
I have mm-hmm. very strong feelings as well. But Jeff, go ahead.
In written form,
yeah,
it is very much redundant to do that. It is bad form to write a review and keep saying in my opinion. However, when you are speaking among friends, it is extremely respectful to continue to hit that point. And it often blunts a lot of the way things mm-hmm. can be received in conversation. As somebody that has been podcasting for quite a long time, this is something I came to very early in my career. Because when you state something as fact that is clearly opinion, it is difficult. It heightens the argument level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you constantly redundant though it may be, when you constantly reiterate that you are stating your opinion, you are able to maintain a decorum, a level of respectful discourse that might otherwise spin out of control. And it is something that I am always very, very keen to try to do. I think, Dave, you do a great job. Davinci, you do a great job of doing that. And I think though it may to the ear sound unnecessary, it is respectful. And I think it helps in a conversation to constantly not say the tacit implication when you don't say that stuff is, I am objectively right and you are objectively wrong. Mm-hmm. This movie was terrible. Well, I didn't think it was terrible. So what does that say? If you're saying it is terrible and I don't think it's terrible, then now we have some sort of personal beef.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, I thought it was terrible. Oh, really? I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Now you
yeah.
can have a conversation.
I think those are great points. First of all, I'll start by saying when I saw this, I don't even think that's something we say a lot. You know, like, I don't recall hearing you guys say in my opinion a lot. Maybe you do, and it's just like I've become inured to it, and so I tune it out. But
I think
I definitely don't.
It's not it's not something I recall us saying with a lot of regularity. But my reaction is slightly different. It's very similar to yours, but slightly different, which is that online, people will do everything they can to take what you have said out of context.
Mm-hmm.
There is a moral panic about this recently, actually, where like this thing happened recently where like on TikTok, this woman posted a video of her child was like, she had been having sex with her partner and her child had overheard it and was like upset about it. And she posted it online as kind of like a funny thing, like, oh, I can't believe this happened. This is very embarrassing. And people on Twitter were like, that's really fucked up if you need to have sex while your children are in the house.
I think it was mainly one person. One person.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It was one tweet that everybody was bagging on.
If you have children and you want
to
have sex.
If you need to have sex so bad, rent a hotel, Jeff.
Rent a hotel.
Who takes care of the children?
So anyway, it's like, it's just like these opinions that are just like, wow, you're just interpreting this situation in the worst way possible. We've already talked about it in the past of the podcast where you're like, I think, you know, the Last Jedi is good. Oh, so you think that Last Jedi is better than Star Wars original trilogy? You know, like whatever your opinion is, people will interpret it in the worst faith possible.
Yeah, we are in a soup of like bad faith readings, basically. Yeah, totally, that is the default for a lot of folks. Yeah,
totally. Now, does saying in my opinion solve that? No. But it does make it 3% better, because maybe 3% of the 10,000 people that would have attacked you online or on Twitter or on podcast form or whatever might be like, oh, he's just saying it's his opinion. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. He's saying words that he has come up with, not blanketing
subjective
fact across everything. Yeah, I got to remember that.
That doesn't really enter the calculus for me. I care about you guys. I don't care about what I don't know. I don't know.
I know, Jeff. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, in my opinion, why I say in my opinion sometimes.
I appreciate why you guys do it. I don't really do it, because I think in general, like, we have like a very genial conversation, and things may get heated sometimes, but that is the discourse. That is how we kind of talk about things, as long as it doesn't get too crazy. But yeah, for audiences, I have gotten very used to saying something, and like, if people get mad, then you know where my Twitter is. you know how to email me.
You know where my Twitter is that I'm ignoring now.
Yeah. Well, not me. I can't unfortunately.
I don't know. I think this is good form, a good it's best practice, just in life too. You know, I find it is useful in any conversation I have. If we're talking about matters of opinion, to reiterate that it is, you know, that's what I think. I my opinion, I think having those blunts the perceived attack, on your position. It's like,
that's a good technique.
I think this was a delicious sandwich. You know, I think it was, you know, I think the chicken is overcooked. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Full blown spectrum of opinion there. Jeff does it because it makes for a more genial conversation. Devinder DGAF. And I'm just trying to prevent some small percentage of people from firing up their laptops and attacking me online. So,
yeah. My personal email account gets all sorts of fun things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of utility, I think, is the conclusion there. All right. Thanks for the question at patreon.com/filmpodcast. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it. Next week, it's going to be Scream 6 and some Poker Face spoilers in the After Dark for you.
And so, if anybody wants to take the Dave Chen challenge of trying to replicate his voice, please send it to us.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
I believe Dave has laid the gauntlet out for anyone to attempt to create perfect verisimilitude.
I mean, here, I'm going to be honest with you. I tried to replicate my, like, I actually fed the system multiple different, I honestly tried to create like a good version. Here's what I'm going to play it for you right now. You can decide. Okay. So, here's me. Okay.
It's going to be like, hey, everybody.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here's a version of me, that I'm going to upload right now, and you guys can take a listen. Okay.
Yes.
Here it is. And boom.
David Chen is the best podcaster in the game. I know a lot of talented people, but David Chen is the most talented amongst them.
That sounds like nothing like
me. I agree. That's not weird. Sound like you.
Yeah. So why? I tried like feeding it like different podcasts, different sections of podcasts, and I couldn't produce a good sounding version of me.
I would listen to that guy though. That guy sounds very knowledgeable. Honestly, can we get that guy to host the show?
This podcast is over.